hope you've got some courage, because here comes the colonel. Rough.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Oh, I can't believe it. I cannot believe it. The characters that come through here. Well, as long as I don't get an endorsement from Donald Trump, I guess that's okay.
I'm Trump, and you're fired.
Yeah, yeah, don't do me any favors. Well, welcome back to the second half of The Promise of Tomorrow here on the Science News Radio Network. I'm your host, I'm Colonel Mason. Before we get back to our interview with Rusty Brockman and the Green Belt Coalition, telling us about how Central Texas is emerging as the country's premier clean technology hub, fascinating stuff. I want to remind you that just up the road a little ways on 35, we'll take you eventually to Tulsa, Oklahoma for the IEEE 4th Annual Green Technologies Conference going on there, because Oklahoma is doing some remarkable things in green technology too. And I know that may be a surprise to a number of people, but it's really true. Renewable energy is a burning issue in Tulsa, a city built on the energy boom. But we're leaders now, looking to future quite different from the last century. So this is a very important conference. It's going to be the 19th and 20th of April. We plan to be there, and we're giving it press coverage. And you can learn more about it at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a link to the 4th Annual Green Technologies Conference presented by IEEE. So there's a little note for you there. And, of course, at the end of the program, we're going to have listener comments and the voice of reason. And but right now, let's step over to our fountain of useless information we have here on the set. Throw in some coins here and see.
Welcome to the fountain of useless information. How can I help you?
All right, I see the spirit of the fountain responded when we threw in the coins, the greedy old spirit. All right, spirit of the fountain, here is a great science question for you that you will never, ever get. Who was the first classical composer to have an asteroid named after him? A classical composer had an asteroid named after him. Who is it?
I have given you my answer. And now you may tell
Once again, we can't fool the spirit of the fountain. The first classical composer to have an asteroid named after him? If you said Beethoven, you're wrong. It was Wolfgang Mozart.
That's right, Wolfgang Mozart.
All right, on with our show. And we're back with Rusty Brockman of the Green Belt Coalition talking about how Central Texas is emerging as the country's premier clean technology hub and how it all comes together through partnerships.
And, you know, when the Green Belt Coalition got started, we involved our local community government entities of the city, the county, our local utilities, and our two school districts, and they sat down and we tried to get them to kind of discuss a little bit about their fleets and how natural gas might be the way for them to begin looking, because they were the local fleets that probably could be a core to get other people to look at, to start looking at the natural gas. We did a nice study and used a company out of Dallas. You know, Clean Energy was one of the folks that came to the table along with CenterPoint to be able to kind of be a resource for us as we did that work on what we might be able to do with the buses and the garbage trucks and the large vehicles that do work for our county. And so where we are with that is we kind of put that on the back burner when there was some indecision about some of the companies wanting to put fueling stations around. And now you just mentioned something that I had just heard something today about, and that's about Clean Energy doing those fueling stations. So now that there will be an opportunity to possibly have a fueling station in our neighborhood down here, it might be something that our entities will get back together again and study a little harder to see, hey, now we've got an opportunity to fuel these vehicles. Will it be worth our dollars to invest in having them either retrofit to be able to be natural gas, or maybe even as they plan out in their budgets the next years to begin purchasing natural gas vehicles right from the factory? So, good point. That's exactly one of the things that the Green Belt Coalition was focusing on a couple of years ago, and we feel we feel confident that's going to move forward, and using people like Clean Energy is a great resource.
Well, I understand the fleets are building natural gas engines and making them available, and we'll have more of them available as there are fueling stations available to use them. And the cost difference with an equal amount of energy with say diesel or oil like $100 a barrel for the BTUs in oil, which is about what it's selling at right now, that you can get an equal amount of BTUs of natural gas for like $17 or $18. So that it looks like there's a tremendous future for this if enough people get behind it.
We feel like there's some great opportunities in moving that direction with the natural gas, and we hope by setting the standard for some of our local community businesses, maybe some of the larger businesses that have large fleets that do deliveries and are part of large corporations like Walmart and Cisco and others, as they look at that and maybe consider long term for them to be able to convert their vehicles to natural gas, or either as they replace older vehicles, replace them with natural gas vehicles. So you're right, the cost of that per BTU is getting to where it can be more affordable for the companies to have those vehicles in their fleets, and hopefully it'll be something that'll be more affordable for just an old regular Joe citizen like me to look at purchasing a natural gas powered vehicle that and now I know when there's a station around, I can go and fill up instead of having to hunt for it somewhere all over the countryside. So I think the investment that Clean Energies and I know Chesapeake Oil down here in the Eagle Ford Shale is another company that's interested in investing in those types of refueling stations too. So we're looking forward to seeing that progress even more quickly now that there's more natural gas being found.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, of course, every time somebody comes up, there's always somebody saying, yeah, but what about the fracking problem causing earthquakes and causing contaminated water? How do you address that question?
Well, that's something we've got to look really close at, and we've got to think environmentally there and make sure that the process that they are doing is protecting that groundwater, which right now the things that I've read and seen have been fairly well, it's made me fairly confident that as they go through that groundwater to get into where the levels of the earth are actually have the gas stored, that they are protecting it with those concrete casings. One of the issues, though, like you mentioned, is the use of the water that it takes to do the process, and there is that's a huge issue that we're going to have to deal with. It's something that the Guadalupe Blanco River Authority is trying to come up with solutions for here in our neighborhood, because the water is being used out of the San Antonio River Basin and the Guadalupe Blanco River Basin to be able to do that fracking process. And one of the reasons why GBRA and other of the water companies in our area are doing the beginning studies on how can we make that desal opportunity along the coast a reality so that we can supplement some of the water needed for the oil patch defracking or the fracking process a reality, so that they're not taking so much of the fresh water away from the farmers and the people who need water to survive. So that's a great topic that we all need to be very cognizant of, so as we move forward we're taking care of current needs as well as what we have in the future.
Well, the liquid that's used for that fracking is such nasty stuff. I'm surprised that it requires fresh water. Why can't salt water be used for it? You have any idea on that?
Well, because it has to be it cannot have all the particulate in it. It's got to be a clean water. Now, it can be gray water. It still has to be treated. So if you're going to use I understand, I'm not an expert in this, but I understand if you're going to do the desalinization process, it takes all the particulate out of the water to where it can be used in the fracking process. Just like if some of the plants are trying to, or some of those processes are trying to get the gray water, which has been treated locally and brought back online for irrigation purposes only, that it does not have so many of the solids in it that it prevents it from being a a good use for the fracking process. So it's my understanding the water has to be pretty much void of all of those particulate matters that would prevent it from doing process they need done in a cost-efficient manner.
All right. Well, Rusty Brockman, what have we missed? What haven't we covered?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that Austin and San Antonio are talking about, too, between Austin Energy and CPS and others, is the electric charging stations. That's still on the table. It's still a discussion piece, and the Green Belt Coalition has tried to stay pretty close to those discussions, and they're talking with NBU here in New Braunfels and some of the other local municipalities, to be able to help them set these charging stations up along the way. So if there are electric vehicles that are needing to travel from Austin to San Antonio, they'll be able to have a place to recharge, and it doesn't need to be just between Austin and San Antonio. There may be electric vehicles that are traveling other places that come through our area along IH-35, and so there will be strategically placed recharging stations along our way so that we can service those needs. So that's another piece that we didn't talk about that is fairly significant, that those discussions still are continuing to try to make that happen.
Well, I'll give you a little piece of inside information. We're not ready to talk about it much yet, but there is a dramatic breakthrough in battery technology. Where a battery the size of an automobile battery with this new technology will actually produce 75 times more of the staying power and electrical output as a regular automobile battery. Now, I've been following the story for 2 years, and this is the development. We're not ready to release the details on this yet, but this is imminent and could break sometime this spring. So just give you a little heads up on that.
Okay, well, I'll keep my ear to the ground on that one. That sounds really interesting because I know that there's folks in Austin, Pike Powers and others, that have been working really hard on the battery development of those technology there to make it more usable. And so that'll be interesting. I bet they know about it, and it's just, like you said, it's not ready for publication yet. But we'll be looking forward to hearing about that, that's for sure.
Well, you get my press releases, but as I understand, it's being tested about now in the Antarctic in a mountain climbing expedition to see how it holds up in the cold, and that's about as much as I can say.
Okay, all right. Well, that's interesting to know. Well, thanks for sharing that with me. I appreciate that.
Well, Rusty Brockman, the head of the Green Belt Coalition and member of the Chamber of Commerce down there in that part of the country, New Braunfels. It's been a joy having you with us. It's been a year since we had a chance to talk to you, and I'm so glad to be brought up to date. We look forward to our conversation we're going to have here in a little bit with Laura Benold and what's going on in Austin. I appreciate you giving us a tip about that. And you've got my number, and you know how to reach me. When something new and exciting comes up, give me a call.
I'll sure do that. I appreciate the opportunity and look forward to keeping up with everything going on, Colonel.
Thanks, Rusty. Really appreciate you being with us.
You bet. Take care of yourself and have a great day.
All right. This handed me. Our research team comes in with a brief correction here. The manufacturer of the solar panels that's going to go on in San Antonio is not a Chinese company, but a South Korean. Okay, a South Korean company, not Chinese. Well, we caught up with Laura Benold, the executive director of Clean Techs Foundation, and we want to learn all about the stuff that's going on there, since we've heard about it already from our friend Rusty Brockman. Welcome to the program, Laura.
Hi, thanks. It's good to be here.
Now, explain to us real quick, what is the Clean Techs Foundation?
Well, the Clean Techs Foundation is a 501c3 nonprofit. We basically are a community organization that operates similar to a cluster group in mm-hmm. that we offer community services, educational programming, networking opportunities, and ultimately with the goal to help the clean technology community in Central Texas do business with itself and to promote sustainability in this area of the world. So
you've got a number of members, and where are they located?
All of our members currently are located in the Central Texas area in and around Austin. This year, we're looking to, create more and more partnerships outside of that area and expand a little bit into working in collaboration with groups that do similar types of things in other parts of the state. So looking at San Antonio and others along the clean energy corridor between Austin and San Antonio, as well as potentially El Paso or Houston or Dallas, something like that. But most of the work we do is in Central Texas and Austin.
All right, and you're working to formalize the organization of the Clean Energy Corridor, and I understand you've got a pretty ambitious goal. You want to make Central Texas emerge as the country's premier clean technology hub. Is that correct?
Yeah, basically our goal is to make this area the clean energy capital of the world as a collective, and we're doing a lot of interesting things all along this corridor. Big solar projects, really providing incentives to companies to try to come to this part of Texas, as well as just promoting an educational environment, so that our community knows what's happening both here and beyond.
All right. Well, you've got an event coming up pretty soon, don't you? Can you tell us about that and what's going to go on there?
Yeah. Our next event, we host a series of events throughout the year. Roughly every 5 or 6 weeks, we host an event called the Clean Techs Forum. At that, we'll have an hour or so of networking followed by a two-hour panel discussion where we get deep into a particular topic related to clean technology. It's either business-focused for clean companies in the area, or it's content-focused, focusing on an energy-related issue such as the energy water nexus or natural gas or the new hydrocarbon economy. So the one that we have coming up will focus on the corridor and the work that various groups are doing between Austin and San Antonio. It's called Developing the Clean Energy Corridor. And we'll have a couple of mayors from the area, between that area speak briefly to kick off the panel. And then we'll have representatives from Kyle, New Braunfels, San Antonio, Austin, and Pflugerville speak about the types of things that they're doing in their communities, both just to be to make the community aware, but also to tell the community about ways in which maybe individuals or companies could get involved in those efforts.
So this is going to be a panel discussion. Is that right? Are there going to be any exhibits there, or anything that the public can come and enjoy, or just listen to the panel discussion?
Yeah, it's a panel discussion. There are no exhibits. It takes place in the Austin City Hall Chamber, where you come in and sit down and listen to the panel. You'll have the opportunity to interact with the panel and ask questions. A moderator will take us through the event and pose a series of questions about sort of what the communities are doing, how they might be alike, how they might be different, and also, I think possibly most importantly, how we can leverage one another's strengths to really make this area of Texas, like I said, the clean energy capital of the world. And I think so that's typically how the event goes. There's definitely opportunity for the community to interact one-on-one with those panelists, both in the networking prior to as well as during the actual discussion. So it's heavy on involvement, but there are no exhibitions or anything like that.
So anybody who is interested in the subject can come and listen to the panel, and those who are maybe interested in getting into the energy business or are in the energy business or something like that are welcome to attend and take part too. Is that right?
That's right, yes. And for those that can't attend because they're far away or the time doesn't work for them, we'll be broadcasting, not live, but after the fact we'll post up video footage of the event on our website, and that's cleantx.org.
CleanTX.org. You'll be able to see the proceedings, even if they can't attend. Well, that sounds like it's going to be pretty fascinating. Now, what time does this begin and on what day?
Right. It's February 16th. The networking begins at 5:30, and the panel discussion and the opportunity to hear from the mayors begins at 6:30. Oh. Lasts until roughly 8:30.
Okay, so what do you think will be accomplished? What is the goal? Is there going to be some action items, or are there going to be some things that you're really going to try to get done at this conference?
Well, the Clean Text Foundation doesn't advocate for a specific task. Mostly we like to educate the public on the opportunities that are taking place, the ways in which we can all become better stewards of this clean energy environment in which we all kind of operate. We want to show the community what the opportunities are that are taking place along this corridor. So that's the primary goal, is just education. But also, the panelists are people who could have significant influence over the, kind of the trajectory that we take across in the future. And I think having them get in the same room and have a discussion could spawn some opportunities for future collaboration that, maybe wouldn't have taken place otherwise. But we want the community to be aware that there are people in this, along this whole corridor, who are interested in working together and who are doing that, and that, whether you're in Austin or San Antonio or San Marcos, wherever you are, there's an opportunity for you to get involved in this community, and that we're all supporting one another. So we'd like the community to just know that that's what's happening and to look for opportunities to be engaged.
All right, Laura, you're new, I understand, to the executive director's chair. How did you get involved with the Clean Text Foundation in the first place?
Well, I've been involved in the clean energy community in Austin for several years. I used to work at the Austin Technology Incubator, mm-hmm. Putting on events for their clean energy incubator. And during that time, I spent a lot of time working with Clean Text Foundation. And so it just became an opportunity in December when I came on board. So I've only been around a couple of months, but I'm really enjoying getting to give back to this community. And it's really exciting what's happening here in Central Texas and in the world, really. And just to get to be a part of that is really, really exciting.
Yes, I certainly agree. The whole field of energy has been extremely exciting ever since Rick Smalley put us on the field a number of years ago and said we can solve all the world's problems if we can solve the energy problem. Well, I want you to make me a promise. If there's some news comes about or something like that that we need to get out, you've got my contact information, and do let me know, okay?
Absolutely. I'd love to. Thanks.
I certainly appreciate it. And is there anything that we missed, anything we need to cover before we say goodbye?
I don't think so. Just hope you can make it to our event.
All right. Laura Benold, the executive director of the Clean Text Foundation, working with the formalized organization, the Clean Energy Corridor, and putting together Central Texas to emerge as the country's premier clean technology hub. Thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And now, we make time for the voice of reason. Listener comments, ideas, and suggestions.
The past is no longer a guide to the future. It's incredibly important when we look at food security. How do we know we're going to be able to produce so much grain in the United States, for example? We need to be very cautious of, assuming that we are going to be able to feed ourselves in the future because of the issue of climate change. We might have these huge floods and droughts that we see today are going to become more severe in the future, possibly, or we need to really be aware of how, when we transform the climate due to our industrial activities, how that will affect our food supply. At the moment, it's very hard to say. It's impossible to say if, the particular drought that's happening in a location on the planet is due to climate change, in quotes. But what we can say is that the trends we see are consistent with what the models project into the future. And so increasing variability, uncertainty, this whole concept in climate change of the past is no longer a guide to the future. My name is Molly Brown, and I work at NASA Goddard Space Flight Center as a research scientist.
So you decide. Has this really been the voice of reason? Listener comments are welcome at 214-329-4949. And please tell us your name and where you're from.
You've been listening to The Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason, the definitive program on emerging and nanotechnologies, now archived and streamed on the web at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Join us next week at the same time as we learn more about the promise of tomorrow.
You live tomorrow, 'cause you know what will be there. I am waiting for you. I am waiting. seeds for you.